We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Here's a question I want to pose to you to start off with today. Is what you are doing with your life at the moment, in all different areas, maybe your work life, but maybe your family life, or just where you put your energies, let's put it that way, is where you put your energy in life close to what you feel you're meant to do with your life? Or, here's another way to put it, what you thought you would be doing at this stage of your life. Is that kind of, you know, have a think about that for a moment. I pose that question to you because living with purpose makes a massive difference in our lives. There's a life insurance company in America who was interested to know, and I can see they had a slightly ulterior motive for this, but they were interested to know what professions where people live the longest. In other words, you know, if you do a certain profession, do you die a bit younger than the average? Or if you do a certain profession, will you live a lot longer? I suppose they wanted to know when they're going to have to pay out on your life, you know. So they did this massive survey over millions and millions of people in America and tried to work out, well, what professions, you know, a short life. I don't know what the short ones were. Probably best not to tell you that just in case you're in one of those professions. But do you know, if anyone's done a bit of research on, I don't know if you've read sort of these things on the internet, do you know which profession in the world people live the longest on average? Any ideas? Ah, it's not a pastor. Unfortunately, I actually don't know where the pastors sit, but it would be interesting to know. Any other ideas? Librarian? Yeah, sort of. Do you think kind of they sit around reading books every day? It can't be that hard. Yeah, maybe. Lawyers? It'd be a bit of stress being a lawyer. Okay, the profession where people live 38% longer than the average. That's quite a lot. Orchestra conductors. There you go. And now there's anyone orchestra conducting? So once this life insurance company did this research, these other research companies were like, well, that's really fascinating. So there's actually been books written by, you know, like, why is this the case? Is it the action of the, you know, is it kind of moving your arms a lot or whatever it is? Well, there could be a whole lot of reasons for that, but I suspect it's this. And because what they discovered is orchestra conductors pretty much worked right up till the time they died because they loved it so much. Here's the thing that stood out for me in that is they had a purpose. They loved what they did. They wouldn't be my first choice of profession, but if you love classical music, and I suppose this would be what you would love to do. And because they had such passion and purpose in their lives, they lived a long time. I was watching a documentary the other day, and David Attenborough is still present. Well, he's the voiceover, and I'm assuming that he is very involved in it. I don't know how, he's like 94 or 5 or something like that, and he's still working, he's still speaking at climate conferences and things like that. And I think, why has he got such longevity and energy? Probably because he's got real purpose and passion in his life. Now, that ought to give us all here a lot of hope. I don't know about you, but surely that gives us a lot of hope. Not that you have to be an orchestra conductor or a presenter or something like that, but surely Christians ought to live longer because we have purpose. God has given us a purpose. We know God's purpose for our lives. And that ought to produce passion in our lives. It ought to energize us. And over the last month of January, we've been looking at what does God do in our lives to refresh us. And primarily, how God refreshes us is a close relationship with Him. Because it's in that relationship that we receive His life. It's in that relationship that we hear His word, we receive His power, we receive His presence. It's in that relationship that those things are imparted from externally to us into our lives. They sustain us and ought to energize us. So the main thing, if you've been going on this journey over this month, is live in a relationship with Christ. It will refresh your life. And one of the byproducts of that relationship with God is you will live with purpose. And God will direct your purpose and direct your life of what that purpose will look like. And it's a really good time of year in that sort of January time, I think, to pause now and again. You don't need to go away and find a forest somewhere, or a beach somewhere, if that works for you, great. Maybe it's just at home, but just to pause and reflect on, God, how are you working out your purpose in my life for 2020? What does that look like? Am I living close to what you have for my life? Because God created you for a purpose. He created you on purpose for a purpose. And it's not a purpose of self-fulfillment or happiness like the world might tell you it is, but it's a life lived in relationship with God and living for His purpose. That's really living. That's where we discover who we are and how we fit into the world around us, is not trying to live for ourselves, but live for God. Not trying to work out, how does Christianity fit into my plan, but how do I fit into God's plan? And it will be a good plan. Like we were worshiping today and saying, God is good. He has a good plan for your life. Years ago, when I was in a flat with a whole bunch of others, and one of our flatmates moved out, and we're a kind of we're talking to people about, who came along and were interested in moving into our flat. And this girl came along and we're talking about it because we wanted a Christian sort of flat. So we said, are you a Christian? She goes, I am a Christian, but I'm a bit annoyed with God at the moment and I'm not really going to church. And we went, tell us a little bit about that. And she goes, I'm a bit nervous that if I get too committed to God, He'll make me do things in my life that I don't want to do. And we're like, hey? What? And she was, 20, 21, something like that. And she was going, look, what if God asked me to marry someone that I don't want to marry? What if He asked me to go on the mission field and to Africa or something like that, and I don't want to go to Africa? And we went, oh, okay. And it's just this complete misunderstanding of who God is. God is good. He's not mean, okay? He's not going to ask you to do something that isn't the right fit for you, that He hasn't put desires and passions in your life to do. He's not, it's certainly not going to ask you to marry someone that you don't like, He's just not mean like this. Psalm 139 says that God created us in our mother's womb. And that's not just our physical bodies, but our spirit, our personality, the way that we looked at life. And as we walk with Him and as He journeys through our lives, He leads us into a life where we're connected with Him and we're connected with His good purpose. At the moment, I'm in my personal Bible study. I'm working my way through the Gospel of John. And it's just so enriching looking at the way God describes the relationship that Jesus has with His Father. And often Jesus says, I'm not going there today. I'm not doing what everyone else wanted Him to do, He says, because I know my Father wants to do this. Jesus was in the right place at the right time, every time. Why? Because He walked closely with God and His purpose. And the person we're going to look at today who also did that was the Apostle Paul, who wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. And he was a very purposeful person, even before he came to know Christ. He was a very passionate guy, very religious guy. Actually, he was persecuting the church before he became a Christian because he thought the church was on the wrong track and it needed to be persecuted and needed to be put down because it was really bad. And then he had an encounter with Christ. And that turned his life completely around. And he realized that he had actually been missing it. Actually, like many people around us, eh? They're living for something in their lives. They're just not living for the right thing. And they'd really discover their real purpose for life if they came to know Christ. And that's what Paul discovers. And he talks about this in Philippians 3. So we're going to have a look at Philippians 3. I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. It's not a translation I usually use, but just the way the Message puts this here, I think, accurately describes exactly how Paul was communicating to the Philippians at the time. Philippians 3, here we go. You know my pedigree, a legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent of God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, which was the Jewish faith, even to the point of persecuting the church, a meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. In other words, he's saying, look, I'm a purposeful guy. I was doing my best in my own strength to live out God's purpose. But then he goes on to say in verse 7, the very credentials these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out in the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my Master. Firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could have the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. In other words, what Paul is doing here is he's making a contrast. He's saying, you can live out a purpose which you think is best for your life, and it might even seem really godly and good to other people, and it might even look good to other people in the church, but is it really coming from a place of a relationship with God and knowing Him? Verse 10, I gave up all that inferior stuff so that I could know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, be a partner in His suffering, and go all the way with Him to death itself. If there was any way to get on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I've made it, but I'm well on the way reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning me onwards to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on the goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Is that you? Hopefully it is. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will make clear your blurred vision. You see it. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. What Paul is saying here is that once you know this relationship with God, God brings clarity to your purpose and what He has for your life. So he says, stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross. But Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. Belches are their praise. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of the high heavens. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like His own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which He is putting everything as it should be under and around Him. See, what Paul discovered is that there is so much to living life when it's lived in a relationship with God. Living in a relationship with God leads us into our purpose. That's why in verse 10 he says, I've given up everything else that I may know God personally. See, when you live in a relationship with God, you stop and you think about the rest of your life and you reevaluate things and you go, but hang on a minute. The values and what I was living for in the past is completely different now. If you don't mind, Alice, I'm going to use you as a bit of an example today. I wasn't going to, but just in honouring of Alice today. I've known Alice for about 18 years, and she's shared some of her journey with me. And one of the things you won't know about Alice is she used to be a midwife and used her occupation and opportunities in the relationships that she developed with mums and families over that time to have really positive influence over many, many people's lives. And then for many years, how long have you been doing Bible in schools? 30 years? Oh, here. But did you do it before that? Yeah. How long did you do it in Timaru?
It wasn't very long because I was working.
Ah, right. Ah, fair enough. So Alice, in her retirement for the last 20 plus years, has faithfully taught Bible in schools for so long. See, that's someone who's discovered that in their relationship with God, there is so much purpose and so much life to share with others. And she's graciously shared that for many, many years. And that's because God shaped your values. God shaped your priorities out of a relationship with Him. This week I'm going to be teaching. I teach the teachers at Hillview, so they have a couple of days where they get together, and we are the proprietors of the school. We shape the special character, the Christian character of the school. They asked me to come in and talk about that. And it's just such a privilege to have about 40 staff here at Hillview that are passionate about bringing Christ to 550 students here at Hillview Christian School. See, there are many different ways that God's purpose works out in our lives. But it starts with a relationship with Him. It starts with that relationship defining who we are and what we are living for. There's a document that, if you come from a traditional church, you might be well aware of, called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's kind of a document that helps disciple people along what is Christianity all about. The first article in the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the purpose of life, or what am I here for? And the answer to that question is, the chief end of man, or the chief purpose for our lives, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I learned that as a kid because I grew up in a traditional church, and I thought, I don't kind of get that. What does it mean to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? And over my life, I've realized that glorifying God isn't just this one-off big thing that you do in your life. It's a lifestyle where you live every day thinking about, how do I bring the life of God that's in me to everyone else around me? It's just that simple. You might think, well, there must be a greater purpose in life than this. There's more to it than that. Well, there's a whole lot of complexities around that and what that looks like and how that's shaped for you and how that fits with your passion and what God has given you. But it is as simple as that. Thinking about your life and the relationship that you have with God, and not seeing your family or your work as something completely different from your church life or your relationship with God, but bringing it together and going, how in my parenting, how in my marriage, how in my relationship with my friends, how in my connections at work, how do I glorify God in this? How do I honor God? How do I live with His value system? How do I bring the life of His kingdom into this context? And now and again, I think it's really helpful for us, and this is what Paul was encouraging the Philippians to do, to say, hang on, step back now and again and Reassess your life. Are you on track with this? Can you see God in every different area of your life? Are you neglecting? Are you leaving him out of things? So integrate God into every aspect of your life. Allow that relationship that you have with him to shape everything that you do. The second thing that we see here, and especially in verse 9, where Paul says, I've dumped it all in the trash that I should embrace Christ. I've let go of all these other things. Is what it shows us is that God's purpose for our lives helps us reprioritize. It helps us clarify what we say yes and what we say no to. And in a society where we have many, many options, we do need to say no to some things, right? Because if we say yes to everything, we just end up totally overwhelmed and totally and too busy. And I don't know about you, but sometimes your energy levels can really get low sometimes. Hopefully not this time of year, usually kind of by the time you get to sort of November, December. But actually, when you think about it, we all probably have a similar amount of energy. It's where we choose to put that energy that matters. If you're putting your energy into things that are not very purposeful, you may be in a job that you feel, oh, I'm not sure if this is quite the right fit for me, and you're not seeing the purpose in it. It's draining, isn't it? That's not my job, by the way, just in case you're wondering. I'm very privileged to have a job that really connects with who I am and how God's wired me. And we ought to look for those things in our lives that do that, that connect with who we are and our purpose. Why? Because it will generate passion. And that will give us energy. If you think about things in your life that you love to do, that give you purpose, it energizes you, doesn't it? It gives you energy. I was talking to someone just before church, and they're just saying, hey, yeah, I really enjoy my job. I can see God's hand in this. And I'm going, yeah, that gives you energy and purpose when it's like that. It all fits together. Now, I appreciate that when we're juggling and working out priorities for the year, that, you know, the age-old thing, we sort of put God first, we put family second, and our work third, or whatever it is, and we kind of have, this is kind of God's priority for our lives. And I think, yeah, mostly that is helpful. However, I do appreciate that there are seasons in our lives where a member of our family gets sick, and we have to change our priorities to look after them. There's a season in your work where it just gets really, really busy, and your company just needs you to put in, you know, above and beyond for a time. But my encouragement to you would be this, that if you're in that place where energy levels are low because priorities have shifted and you've needed to put time, do you see an end in sight? And if you don't, maybe talk to someone about that and get some help around that, because God wants you to be in a place where you are fulfilled, and it is a place where you are purposeful and productive in what you're doing. Now, I know sometimes the seasons come along, but I just from what I see of God in the Bible and his purpose for our lives, I don't think that's meant to last forever. And it's challenging sometimes to work out what that looks like. But sometimes it's good to just pause and pull back and reassess your values and priorities. And this is what Paul is saying to the Philippians. He's saying, make sure your relationship with God is right. And in the context of that relationship, what you prioritize, what you're valuing. Because if you do this, if you live with God's purpose, if you live in relationship with him, if you live with his priorities, it will produce passion in your lives. It will change you. If you listen to him, he will direct you. He will give you clarity around these things. And when you look at what you like and what he's given you, it will become even clearer. One of the other things that I've observed, having been a Christian for many years and being around church life for just a wee while, I've noticed that we're terrible at putting guilt trips on people. I don't know, have you discovered that? You kind of think, you know, someone comes along and they're really passionate about a certain thing, and maybe it's missions or evangelism or worship or connect groups or whatever it is, and that's good. All those things are good. Like, don't get me wrong, all those things are good, and we should think about how our lives are supporting those different areas and what ways that looks like. But sometimes people usually have a very strong personality, come across in a certain way that you should be doing it their way because they're really passionate about that. And you're going, well, yeah, I might be able to match your passion, but if I was doing this, I would do it another way. And then you feel a little bit guilty for doing it another way. And I think, oh, man, we've got to learn in church life that there are numerous ways of living out the kingdom of God, right? Some people might be really gifted artists, and they paint something or sculpt something, and it just leads people to honor God and glorify God. I go, that's fantastic. Knock yourself out. That's awesome. It's not me, okay? My daughters can do it. I don't know where they got it from. Must have been Jenny's side of the family because it certainly wasn't mine, you know? But, you know, we've got to make room in the church for a lot of different expressions of what living out the purpose of God looks like. And sometimes I think we've been way too narrow. We've got to encourage each other with the giftings and the personalities and the skills that each one of us have in the unique way that God's wired us, and encourage each other in that and go, hey, if that works for you, great. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you in that? As long as we're all working towards that same overall purpose, God will work it out in all different ways. So, to conclude this series, I pray that January has been a time of refreshing for you. I pray that this year God is setting you up to partner with Him in all that He has for your life this year. In doing that, to come into all that He has for you, to come into His purpose for your life this year, the main thing is walk closely with Him. Walk in a close relationship with Him. If that hasn't happened for you, if you feel that your relationship with God has waned a wee bit, just reignite that passion by spending time with Him. Worship Him again. Come to God in prayer. Spend time with Him, and He will refresh you. I'm so sure of it, because He wants to meet with you a whole lot more than you want to meet with Him. And He will be there for you as you meet with Him. And as you do that, allow Him to shape your priorities. Allow Him to shape your purpose. And as you discover your passion again, as you discover what you're passionate about in God's kingdom, I am so sure that those energy levels will start to rise again. I'm sure that as you prayerfully consider what God has you to value and prioritize this year, and as He directs you, it'll clarify what you're to say yes to and what you're to say no to, and what new thing that might look like for the year ahead.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.